I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray Fittipaldo on the Fan Hotline right now. Of course, our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Ray, brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG. Build on relationships, credibility, and integrity. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. Is that a Fleury shirt you're wearing?
From 2003. This thing's been through the ringer.
And 21 years old.
That's right.
He could legally get a drink now.
This, Callis, what are you, 25? This shirt's only 4 years younger than Callis.
Yes.
It's nasty kind of looking. Smells like cat a little bit, too.
That's not.
One of these old Coho jerseys. No. Christmas gift. Favorite of all time.
Yeah.
Was a little big on me back then. And now the belly's protruding through it. Yes. So time moves through me just like it moves through the jersey.
It's like you're wearing goalie pads now.
Anyway, Ray Fittipaldo with us. Ray, the Ravens trade for Deontay Johnson. How much does that help them, do you think?
Well, he's certainly an upgrade from Rashad Bateman. Bateman had a big drop in their loss over the weekend. You know, receiver has been such a huge issue for them over the years, guys. They've had a hard time drafting and developing guys. So maybe if you go out and trade for somebody else, maybe that guy just, you know, turns out to be better. You know, I think it's a good move for them if Deontay is right. But, you know, we kind of saw with Deontay last year, sometimes – he plays when he wants to play. He's had issues with running backwards and stuff like that, too. So I think it can be a good move for them, but I think we all know there's some issues there that that he can go through as well.
Right, the Steelers just going to sit on their hands and just go with the receiving core as it is now, or are they going to make a move? What percentage chance do you think they make a move from now until Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, here's where I am, Doran. We've seen Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin get better with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So does that lessen the need a little bit? But I'm still a guy who thinks that your depth is extremely thin. Like if you get an injury to George Pickens, you're pretty much done. So I think maybe now a depth move, like I don't think you need a big name. There's no big names out there anyway. But the interesting part of what's going on now is there's going to be competition. Look what happened to the Texans. You know, Diggs is done for the year now. They probably need a receiver. So maybe the price is going to go up for some of these guys. But, yeah, I think they probably need to make a depth move. But I am encouraged by the fact that Austin and Jefferson are actually producing now that Russell Wilson is a quarterback.
Obviously, Deontay Johnson was not coming back to Pittsburgh. They weren't legally allowed to trade for him, but that wasn't a hefty price to pay for him. The DeAndre Hopkins trade, not a hefty price to pay. Amari Cooper, not a lot to go back in return. What would the Steelers be willing to give up to get one of the remaining receivers, whether it's Darius Slayton, Jacoby Myers, Mike Williams, any number of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jets would take a sixth or a seventh for Mike Williams. I don't think that would be much compensation at all. You know, we saw what Slayton can do. Guy's a good player, so maybe that's more like a mid-round pick. Four or five, I don't know exactly where that would fall. Myers is another one. I'm a little bit intrigued by him. What it's going to come down to, guys, is – you know, the Steelers have been elevating guys from the practice squad. They got that Brandon Johnson. He played with Russell Wilson in the past. At some point, they are going to have to make a decision. Okay, are we just going to go with the guys we've been developing, guys who have been here, or are we going to maybe take a risk and bring a guy in and see if we can mesh him into the offense at midseason? It's not as easy as people think. I think we've seen that with Devontae Adams and the Jets. It can work, but there's also the other side of the coin where sometimes that chemistry just isn't there. And when you have to produce over like an 8 or 10 week period and you have to get that figured out, that puts a little bit of pressure on the quarterback, the coordinator, everyone who's involved.
Ray, who's going to make a more significant return after the bye, Cam Sutton or Zach Frazier?
If I had to pick between one and the other, I think Cam Sutton. I think – we're starting to see a few issues with this defense now, guys. You know, Cam's not going to be involved much in the run defense, but I'm concerned about what I saw Monday night from the Giants in that regard. I mean, they were getting pushed up front. They weren't tackling well. But when I think of Cam Sutton, I think of a guy who can play all over the secondary. He can play outside for you if Joey Porter or Dante Jackson gets hurt. He can play inside. You know, he can bump Beanie Bishop out of a spot, or he can play safety. I think we saw late in that game, was it Edmonds guys who, you know, lost that guy down the seam, and there was a big play that that got them going late in that game. So, you know, very easily you could see Cam Sutton go in there for a guy like Edmonds in that situation. Even KZ. KZ has had his issues in coverage. So I don't think this necessarily means Beanie is going to be on the bench. I think Beanie has done enough to have a role on this team. I just don't know what that role is going to be after Sutton. But that's the great thing about Sutton. He's versatile. You can put him anywhere in that secondary, and he's going to produce.
Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette, our Steelers insider, joining us on the Fan Morning Show. Ray, am I right in saying Keanu Benton's been a little bit of a disappointment? I just don't think he's super stout against the run.
No. He might be injured, guys, and we just don't know about it. He just doesn't look right to me. And I've been on this train for a while. He's not big enough to be a traditional nose. And we're kind of past that age anyway. You do have to be versatile now. You have to be able to bump out and play a three technique. And, you know, he does that. But I was watching that game. He was getting single blocked a lot.
He sure was.
By either the guard or the center. He was sticking on blocks. So I hope he's injured. If he's not injured, it's a step back for him this year. I mean, back in August, July and August, guys, we were talking about him being a breakout player, and he's been anything but in the first 2 months of the season. So just more woes for that defensive line. It's a good thing Cam Hayward's playing at an all-pro level, because otherwise you're not seeing much from those other guys on that line.
Ray, what's up with Broderick Jones? I mean, it seems like game in and game out, he's just been a liability.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the elbow all season. I mean, that brace has been off for a while. I can't blame him on the elbow now. He's not even on the injury report. I just think he's a guy who has to be really fundamentally sound and have good technique if he's going to turn out to be a good draft pick. And it's really concerning that, you know, we're now a year and a half into his development, and we're talking about stuff like technique. You know, so he's got all the physical traits. You know, he's big, he's athletic, he's got everything you want, but sometimes it takes time. And you know, you see it with guys. You know, he's a redshirt sophomore when he came out. Sometimes those guys do take longer to develop, but I've been asked this question a lot. You know, will the Steelers, now that Moore's a really good player, will the Steelers opt to sign Moore and try to trade Jones? I don't think so. I think they're invested in Moore. Excuse me, they're invested in Jones. Moore's going to make a ton of money on the open market. They just got to get this figured out with Broderick and get him in a good place, but he's not in a good place right now.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Much has been made about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields on the bench, yucking it up. Some fan yelled something. They laughed about it. They're razzing each other. Is their relationship as good as it looks like it is? What have you witnessed between the two? What's your understanding of that?
Yeah, I mean, their relationship goes back, I think, 8 or 10 years, back when Justin was in high school and getting ready to go to college. So, you know, they do have that connection. Obviously, when you're in the NFL or any competitive situation, there's going to be some tension sometimes, and everybody wants to play. But, you know, this stuff with Denver the last couple of years, and, you know, Russ being a personality issue, I have not seen any of that. He says all the right things. He's a good teammate. You see him collaborating with guys during practice, with assistant coaches. He's in the building first. He stays late. I mean, this guy is doing everything right. Maybe he's motivated by what happened in Denver, but, you know, all that stuff that we've heard about him, I have not seen one little thing of that, you know, come to fruition in his tenure with the Steelers.
Ray Fittipaldi, Post-Gazette, our Steelers insider. We talk to him every, what day is it, Wednesday at 8 a.m. Ray, thank you for your time.
All right, guys, have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too. Ray. See you. Ray Fittipaldi. I like to see those guys get along on the bench.
Yeah.
And I think it's like probation. Like, whether the reputation for Russell Wilson was correct or not. He did have a certain reputation coming in, and he knows, A, you got to play well, but B, you got to be a good teammate.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is just a good teammate.
Yes.
But if he weren't, or if he wanted to just put on, I think he's doing the right things now, and I think Justin Fields understands it too. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they really were close. And it looks like they are. Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely are. I think Russ looks at Justin like, hey, man, like, I want you to be great because I am getting older, and look at him like a little brother. Like, your time is going to come. Learn from me. I'm going to try to teach you along the way as trying to get myself back to prominence. Along the way, I want to, you know, bring you along with me and show you the way too, because this is going to be your game at some point. And why wouldn't he want to act that way?
It hasn't always happened that way here.
No.
Or in a lot of places, either.
Yeah, it doesn't. But I can see why, because, you know, I mean, Russ has, it's not always been great for Russ. I mean, it has. He's made a lot of money. Don't, you know, take it with the context we're talking right now. But he has gone through adversity even last year, the year before, getting traded. So he's like, hey, man, like, I've been there before. Listen, and you can rebuild yourself as I'm doing right now. And you could still play a long time in this league and be a very good quarterback. So I'm going to help you as much as I can alongside of trying to play and win right now.
I don't know if I'm prisoner of the moment on this. You could tell me if you think I am, but maybe this is the best case scenario that all this could have worked out. Like, you get to see Justin Fields play a lot.
Yep.
He wins you four games. Then Russ comes in, is clearly the better option for this team. But now Justin can sit there and observe and see how it's all going. I mean, look at Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
How many pre-snap penalties, all that kind of stuff. Russ is coming. He has such a mastery of everything at the line of scrimmage. Daniel Jones didn't have a guy like that to learn off of. This guy does, Justin Fields. I think it can help him. And you also realize that there's a certain way he had to play to win, but he was able to do that too.
Yep.
I feel pretty good about maybe both guys being here next year. We'll see. I mean, if Russ wins a playoff game, I don't think you kick him to the curb. Like, I think you have to pay him. And I don't know that Justin Fields is going to have a ton of suitors to be a starting quarterback, so why not be a backup to the guy you like?
Right.
It's playing out well.
Yes, it is.
IMO. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. IMO means, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know that.
That's what the young people are texting.
Yes.
These days.
Yeah, I know that.
IMO.
Yeah.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We asked a question earlier, and now it's getting a lot of response text on Twitter. If you don't buy into the Steelers as a potential multiple playoff winning team, what would it take to make you a believer during the regular season? You can weigh in on that, 412-928-9370. We'll read and react to some of the best.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Responses. What do you need to see from the Steelers to buy that they're a true legitimate contender? If you don't buy that they're a true legitimate contender. We'll get to that coming up in a minute. A lot of texts and tweets on that. But Southside Jake has texted us, Storm, and you, Nicholas Harry Callis, and said that if I continue to flush these flushable, quote-unquote, wipes down my toilet, that they can all gather together in the sewer line, and then that mass of nastiness will then pick up excrement and fat and all this other grossness.
Fat?
Yeah. And congeal, and it's called a fatberg. There's a whole Wikipedia thing on the fatberg. So it can be an iceberg of fat.
That's just sick.
A rock-like mass of waste matter in a sewer system formed by the combination of flushed non-biodegradable solids such as wet wipes with fat, oil, and grease deposits.
That's just the...
So I always thought I might be screwing over my own plumbing. Turns out I could really be effing over a lot more people.
Yes. But you don't care.
How come?
No, my bum comes first.
Mm.
The comfort of my tush I shall put above anything else.
Mm.
It feels much better to wipe with the flushable wipes than it does this cheap-ass toilet paper my wife gets. And thus, I'm going to keep doing it. And then I'll just sell the house.
Okay.
I ain't living there forever. That'll be somebody else's problem, hopefully.
What? Why don't I get credit for telling you this stuff first? I told you both things before you looked them up on the internet, and then you come on the air and you're like, oh, I just looked it up. I'm Crowley.
Well, you one time told us, Nick, that if you drink warm water, it does not help with dehydration.
That's right. He did say
extreme circumstances, mm-hmm. That is true. We did confirm that.
We did not. Water is water. You heat the water up, it's still water.
A hot day, if you drink hot water, you could feel more thirsty still. We talked about this.
Oh, my goodness.
Doran, if we are lost in the desert and we come across an oasis, but it's been 120 degrees all day and we are dehydrated and we're close to seeing our maker.
Yes.
The water we find at said oasis ain't going to be cold. It's baking in 120 degree heat.
And it's going to hydrate you because it's what?
No, if I drink it, I die, according to Callus.
No.
What then, Callus?
It just might make you feel more thirsty, that's all. It doesn't mean you're not going to get water. We talked about this.
So forgive me. We did talk about it. We realized you were wrong then, as you are now. So when a plumber tells me I've created a fatberg, I'm going to listen to my plumber friend.
Right.
When Callus says it, I'm going to go, maybe he's right. But I'm not going to put as much stock in it as a trained professional.
Absolutely.
He didn't use verbiage. Fatberg.
Exactly.
We got a fatberg.
Like whenever I go golfing and I'm golfing with a random group and they try to fix my drive. Like, I'll listen to Dustin Johnson fix my drive. That's not right. You, as you go slice it as well.
That's right. Starkey's not going to give me my golf tips.
Right.
I'm not going to take those.
Right.
But if Neil Shipley, who was at the Steelers game the other day.
He was.
Great guy.
Awesome kid.
Great kid.
Yes.
If he's going to tell, hey, Crowley, you're picking up your head or whatever. Because everyone says that. Why am I saying, you're lifting your head up. That's the only golf advice you get from the hoi polloi.
Mm-hmm.
But when Neil Shipley tells me, okay, I'm going to put a little stock in it.
Yes.
Look, you exaggerate when I'm wrong, but when I'm right, you're just like,
Fatberg.
Nope, I looked it up on the internet.
When are you right? You're not right a lot, though.
But I was right about this. I was right about the flushable wipes being dangerous.
He is right.
You're screwing over the whole neighborhood with these.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the third time you've been right in a year.
Let's go.
A year and a half.
This is a milestone for Callus.
This is big time.
There we go. People are telling me I need to get a bidet.
You know what that is?
I do. You ever used one?
Yes.
Do you have one?
No.
Would you get one?
Yes.
You get one, I'll try it out at your place.
No. Because you'll flush wipes down my tongue.
I'm not! 412-928-9370 is the phone number, and I throw it out there when I need a clumsy transition. On to the football. I have asked on the Twitter.com, Doran, if you don't believe in the Steelers, what would it take to make you a believer? James Jones played in the NFL for a while. He's on Fox now. He says he thinks the Steelers could beat anybody. He thinks that it could be a Super Bowl contender. And the most common thing I'm seeing here is the Steelers need to go and beat a good team. Okay. Is Atlanta a bad team?
No. I think a lot of these teams that they've beat became good teams after the Steelers beat them. Well, decent teams.
The Broncos are 5-3.
Right.
The Chargers, are they in a playoff spot right now? I have to look at the standings, but those aren't bad football teams. And then what have they done against bad teams? Mostly they beat the hell out of them. So I don't know that I need to see that. Like, you beat Washington, does that change people's minds? Or are people then going to say they're a fluke? I don't know. Like, a couple of people have tweeted in that they need to see them beat the Ravens. If you're a non-believer and they beat the Ravens, I don't know that that should make you a believer because they tend to have some success against the Ravens. Is it beating the Chiefs? Is it going on the road and beating the Eagles? Is it just continuing to put up points offensively? That would be mine. Like, we've seen a lot of good from Russ these last couple of weeks. The offense has scored 32, then 37. And it looked better than the final score would indicate against the Giants. Keep doing that, I guess. Like, you keep doing that, you're in the mid-20s, you occasionally hit the 30s. If I weren't not a believer, I think that would do it. But I'll tell you what, I'm a believer in this team. I think they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are so used to the other shoe dropping around here, we can't see the obvious thing in our face. And the obvious thing in my face is that this is a good football team. Good on special teams. Nay, elite on special teams. Defensively, they've got warts. But you're not going to have a perfect defense in 2024. I think I'd take the Chiefs' defense ahead of them. I think the Broncos' defense is really good. I think that might be the list for me. Okay, they gave up 150 yards on the ground. I saw that. We all saw that. That's not good enough. They got to clean it up. But even the better defenses in the league are going to have moments like that. You'd like to see them few and far between. You would have liked to see them not give up 400-plus to Dak. That might be another thing. Like, against elite offenses, can you shut them down?
Yes.
That's legitimate.
Well, we're going to see in the next 2 weeks after this.
That we will.
Yes.
That we will.
I think this is the best test right here.
Washington.
And the Ravens coming back. You know, coming back home against the Ravens, your first divisional opponent. Two high-powered offenses, two teams that are very good. See how they stack up against them. If they go 1-1, if they split, I feel like that's pretty good. I do. Obviously, 2-0 is great, but if you go 0-2 and it looks ugly, then you kind of know which type of team that you have.
They haven't been blown out yet. And
I don't think they will get blown out.
I don't think.
By the way, they play in the second half.
Right.
That's why. Like, they're number one in the league.
Yeah, these starts haven't been good, but in the second half, they've been the best team in football. And I don't think that's a fluke through eight games. Like, defensively, they've been really good in the second half. And offensively, they've corrected some of their woes. That's good coaching. Like, that's the other knock against this team going back 7 years. They don't, a lot of people in this town, and I've been lumped in there, haven't thought the coach is that good. Well, you're doing a good job this year. I think they're just good, guys. Hey, I don't think that's a hot take. I think it's okay to admit that. Now, how good, I guess that can be the question. But I think it's a good football team. We're used to seeing them finish 9-8, 10-7, either just miss out on the playoffs or lose in the first round. So I think a lot of people are waiting for, okay, but, .. I don't know if there is a but.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're good. What say you? 412-928-9370. If you do not believe in the Steelers, what will it take to believe in them? 412-928-9370. A lot of people worried about the Steelers' defense, Doran, after the 150-yard rushing attack from the New York Football Giants. The Indy game, I think, still sticking to people's minds. There's news on that we'll talk about coming up in the football segment and then with Doug Whaley, who's in with us from 9 o'clock until 10. And, hey, we're going to find out real quick about the Steelers' defense then, huh? I mean, they're still second in the league in points allowed, but they got 9 games left. 7 of them are against top 11 scoring offenses in the NFL. Cincy is 11th, KC all of a sudden 9th. Washington 3, Baltimore 2. There's one team I'm missing. The Eagles are 10th. So, 70 or 9, you're going up against really good offenses, and they haven't played a really good offense in terms of points per game yet this year. Closest thing was Seattle and, or excuse me, Atlanta, and we know that they weren't a finished product necessarily when they started the year. How concerned are you about the Steelers' defense?
I think they're going to get better coming out of the bye week. I mean, I know communication seems to be a thing, and then the bleeding run defense seems to be a thing. But, you know, with guys like Nick Herbig coming back, being able to rush the passer, you got Cam Sutton that's coming back. And just the configuration of the back end, whenever he does get rolled into the fold, I think it definitely will help them out. And I don't know where Cole Holcomb is, but, I mean, you know, he could be another added asset if he does come back, if he's ready to go at linebacker, middle linebacker. So I'm not as concerned as probably some other people. I think they'll get it figured out. And, you know, Alex Highsmith, having him back is just so significant. I mean, having 2 sacks the other night and just, you know, helping TJ Watt on the other side of, you know, drawing some attention. I think that, you know, if you can get things shored up within the middle of the defensive line, I think you'll be just fine. I think they can do that.
I think Montrevious Adams is an important piece of this team. Like, he's just been a good soldier for them for a couple of years. I am worried about Benton. I think Ray nailed it earlier. Like, I think ideally when Cam steps away, which, hey, keep playing, Cam. You're playing good football. I think he's more of an end than he is necessarily like an interior guy. Like, he was getting moved. And I'm not somebody who sits there and combs over defensive and offensive line play and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. But when a guy gets knocked on his ass a couple of times and gets moved out of the way a significant amount of times, even I can see that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he might have a chance of being a Pro Bowl guy coming into this
season. So did I.
I think he can still get after the passer, but the rush defense thing did scare me. Because I don't know that Peyton Wilson's this great downhill run-stopping guy. And I don't think that's been Patrick Queen's strength necessarily either. Alandon Roberts is. The problem is when he's out there, then they attack him through the air.
Right.
So I guess that kind of worries me a little bit. Going to find out a lot when they play Washington.
Yep.
Washington is the number three highest scoring team in the NFL right now. And they look it. I mean, you watch them, and it doesn't look fluky. They got a quarterback who can run. I think part of it with the Giants, and you would know better than me, I think they were just so loath to let Daniel Jones keep it that they left kind of the backside open a little bit there. Like, they didn't want him to pull it on Reed stuff. They didn't want to get killed in the quarterback game.
They thought that he could really take over the game with his legs, which he didn't at all, so they did stop that. I think he had, 4 yards rushing or something like that.
He didn't do anything.
He usually has, around 30 to 40 to 50 yards rushing a game. And I think they were like, we'll live with Tracy, whoever it is, and Singletary getting yards on us, then Daniel Jones controlling that portion of the offense.
Yeah.
And they did their job, if that was the case. So you got to kind of look at it like that.
I think you need more sacks, too. They're okay. They're not where they've been. I think they led the league in sacks 5 straight years going into last year. They need to get back there. And they weren't blitzing a lot. Then they did blitz a lot in this game, which was kind of surprising to me. Maybe just because the Giants' offensive line is as bad as it is. But I think you could have also gone into it thinking, all right, their line is as bad as it is, so just rush four and you should be able to get heat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't be a hypocrite. I did say before the game, I'd like to see them blitz more, and I'd like to see Watt moving sides, and they did both of those things. You know what that makes me think? I'm a genius.
And you're going to say that.
You've been working with me for a while.
Yeah.
By the by, someone texted Indoran and said that there was almost a lawsuit in their neighborhood because of one of these Fatbergs, and they were able to discover which house did it, and the people who created the Fatberg, they wound up having to pay for the whole thing.
There you go.
So
you're going to have to call Allegheny County Bar Association. You're going to have to call them. Because yours, look, you don't care about anybody else's house. You don't care about yours. You'd say, I'm going to sell it. So this is premeditating crushing your neighborhood.
So this is what I'll do. I'll call Allegheny Bar. I'll call Gina Giapietro.
Yes.
And we'll just get the whole thing covered. I'll get the hell out of there.
Southside Jake, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Plumbing. Yeah, I guess I'm going back to toilet paper starting today. I'm serious. I ain't trying to flirt with any lawsuits. I didn't think about that.
I wonder what it does look like, the fat burger. I wonder what the fat burger looks like right now.
You know what it looks like? Hey, I'm serious about this. It is probably 95% these wipes and then 5% Zin.
Yeah.
Do you flush the Zin?
Yes.
I wonder what that does.
Nothing.
Google that during the break.
Flushing. I think that probably disintegrates.
Zin, bad, ? All right, coming up next, we go around the NFL. Big quarterback news in the league yesterday, which I do think affects the Steelers and also has us asking, I think, interesting questions. We'll talk to Doug about it, too. He'll be with us from 9 until 10. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And now it's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Doug Whaley with us for a full hour, starting at 9 o'clock. The Los Angeles Chargers are not the team I wanted to say here, but I'm looking at the standings. The Indianapolis Colts, Doran, have benched Anthony Richardson, and they are going with Joe Flacco. This after Anthony Richardson pulled himself out of the game or out of a play last weekend because he was tired. I'm guessing that didn't go over super well in the locker room. Here's how it affects the Steelers. I think Indy's a much better team right now with Joe Flacco. And I think that's been evident because of the injury he sustained in the Steelers game. Flacco goes in, and when Flacco has played, he's played well, and they've looked good. It's such a conundrum to me. Whether you play the young guy who obviously needs to play to develop, or you go with the guy that can lead you to the playoffs, but he's 800 years old, and so what's the future hold? Are they doing the right thing here?
I think that you can get you got to keep people engaged, too. I know some people want to see the young guy, but if you feel like you can win with Joe Flacco, which if Joe Flacco's on your team, it seems like he's like the Grim Reaper. If he's like a backup quarterback and you're like, hey, let's sign Joe Flacco in the offseason, it seems like he's always going to be the guy that just ends up starting, however way you get there. He's the Grim Reaper. But I feel like you need to win right now, and Joe Flacco does give you the chance to do that. And then you could figure some things out and let a young guy sit and watch somebody like Joe Flacco, kind of like Justin Fields.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've seen what competent quarterback play does. Competent quarterback play gives you a chance. Sam Block on Twitter tweeted, and I don't know who this guy is, ESPN it says, Anthony Richardson is 22, he got benched. Bryce Young, 23, benched. Trey Lance, benched. Fields, benched. Levis, benched. Wilson, Zach, benched. Mac Jones, benched. Kenny Pickett, benched. And then writes the NFL has a quarterback development problem. Well, then you look around the league and you see like Caleb Williams, he's starting, and Jaden Daniels and Stroud and Purdy and Nix and Lawrence and Love and Hurts and Herbert and Tagovailoa and Burrow and Murray and Jackson. I mean, is this a development problem or is this a some guys aren't good problem?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a competition problem maybe too. If you look at some of these guys who they played in college, I mean, you look at Caleb Williams, you look at Jaden Daniels, and you look at CJ Stroud and these young quarterbacks, I mean, they're coming from big schools. And that's not to slight any other school, but they're playing the top of the tier of talent, and they're getting an array of how to play the quarterback position. They're getting not just a college-style offense, they're getting some pro concepts in there as well, and I think that helps their development going into the pros. And you have some other guys, I mean, Trey Lance, you know, playing lower-level ball.
Yeah.
I mean, talent looks great. He flashes in college, but is he playing the appropriate competition? I don't think so.
It's a big projection then at that point.
Big projection. I mean, look at, I mean, even BYU and Zach Wilson, like he was a top five pick.
And that was before they were in a power conference.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, it goes the other way. Like Ben went to Miami of Ohio. I mean, he's such a specimen. Guys, sometimes you need to either land in the right situation or you need time. Like Ben obviously landed in the right situation. Great defense, great running game, good head coach. I think about Josh Allen. Josh Allen, they gave him time because he goes to Wyoming. He's got a low completion percentage at Wyoming, and they just let it ride, and they figured it out.
Yeah, but you're also talking about 6'6", 245-pound, massive arm guys that you just named, two of them.
Oh, no doubt. And that's where I think you look at Anthony Richardson, and you can see the why. Why they drafted him, why they've benched him, but you could also make the argument he's got that physical skill set, so give him more time to figure it out. I don't know that there's a right answer or a wrong answer. Coaches don't want to give guys time because then they wind up getting fired if it takes time for them to eventually develop. Let's talk to Doug Whaley about this.
Yeah.
I think it's a fascinating discussion, Mr. Dickerson. Also, we get Doug's thoughts on whether or not the Steelers are a legitimate contender. Has Russell Wilson raised the floor? A lot of stuff to get into with Doug Whaley for a full hour coming up next. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 75.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.